Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Rebel Room. This is Taylor Byrne, Las Vegas Sun, UNLV sports reporter, and I have on the line from the District of Columbia, Rob Doster, writer for College Basketball Talk. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very good. Well, thank you for thanks for coming on the show.
Not a problem at all.
All right, now Rob covers basically the entire nation, everything to do with college basketball, but he recently wrote an article that piqued my interest. The headline was, "Should we be concerned about UNLV's roster makeup?" Well, Rob, you know, what conclusion did you come to?
I look at the lineup that they're going to have next year, and I just see a lot of big men. You know, I see a lot of guys that are going to that are either fours or fives, or guys that are kind of going to get, like Mike Moser, a guy who's kind of a natural, you know, combo forward who's going to get pushed into the small forward role. And, you know, with all those bodies, there's only a certain amount of minutes that you can get out of. You know, if Mike Moser is going to be playing 30 minutes and Anthony Bennett's going to be playing 30 minutes and Kent Birch is as good as advertised and, you know, Bryce Jones is as good as advertised, so where's the time going to come from? You know, you got some veteran guys that have been on that roster for a while that aren't going to be playing a lot, and you know, I'm a little concerned about Anthony Marshall at the point too. But I love his game. I did a list last year of, you know, five guys who could be on my team any day of the week, and he was one of the guys. I just love the way he defends. I love the way he competes. I love the way he attacks the rim. I just don't believe he's a point guard. You know, with the system that Dave Rice wants to run next year, kind of pushing the ball and getting the ball up and down the floor, you need a guy like a Kendall Marshall, kind of a pass-first point guard, in my opinion. And you know, I think Anthony Marshall is a great player. I love the way that he plays. I just don't think that he's the right fit at the point for that team. And it's kind of a red flag for me looking at what they're going to have next year.
You know, you wrote the article after Savon Goodman's commitment. I think it was last Friday was when he came on board. And it really, this offseason, they've just been adding big piece after big piece. You're right. But do you think... And I guess the counter argument could be that, you know, they're building, they've got all these pieces to build for the next few years, and you know, this year there's going to be some guys that just have to sit, you know, like either Savon or a Roscoe Smith. You know, one of them is definitely going to be redshirting, and then some of the incoming freshmen. Do you think that it could survive for a while, where, you know, this is the off season where they get all the pieces and put it together for the next few years, or do you think that there's just so many names that, you know, these guys all want to play, and that it's going to be a problem when only, you know, eight of them are in the rotation?
I think a lot of it is going to come down to how Dave Rice can kind of manage expectations for his guys. You know, as long as he's not sitting here promising someone like, you know, Demetrius Moore that he's going to be playing 20 minutes a game as a freshman right off the bat, I think he'll be all right if he can kind of, you know, get through to them that, you know, we're building for the future here, and I'm sure that's what he's saying. I think it's kind of a worry, because the way that I kind of see it breaking down is that guys like Carlos Lopez and Quintrell Thomas, they're going to be the ones that are kind of forced out. And, you know, these are guys that have been in the rotation for a while and kind of been, you know, key members of that program. And I have a tough time seeing where they're going to be fitting in down the road, you know, once Birch gets eligible, and who are they going to be playing over? You know, that's kind of the concern for me. On the other hand, you know, to answer your question more directly, I don't think it's ever a problem to have too much talent necessarily. You know, if that's the biggest issue you have as a team, that's a really good problem to have. I don't think that having a lot of pieces is necessarily a better thing than having the right piece. And I think my concern more than anything isn't necessarily that, you know, they have Roscoe Smith and Mike Moser and Anthony Bennett and Savon Goodman all that kind of play the same position. It's that they are the same position. You know, I think that you have a lot of guys that kind of are used to playing the same role, like a guy that is an athletic power forward that can knock down. There's a lot of that player on this team, and I think that could be a little bit more of an issue, is they just don't really have, you know, the shooter on the perimeter, the two guards. It's that all the talent kind of resides in the front court.
Yeah, you mentioned Lopez and Thomas. In an article I wrote, I think just earlier this week, I mentioned that you know, those guys, whether they're a part of the rotation or not, and you're right, it looks like right now they are going to be, you know, the guys bumped off by, you know, what is arguably the deepest front court in the nation. Whether this team is able to succeed this year, I think, depends still a lot on how those guys handle that demotion or just whatever minutes that they do get.
Because I just think that it's going to be a matter of maybe morale is the right word, or just everybody kind of being on the same page.
Are you there?
Yep. Hey, cut off. The last thing I heard was you said, how are Carlos Lopez and Thomas going to handle the demotion?
Yeah. And I was just saying, you know, their mentality in practice and on the bench, just, you know, I think it could be a big distraction and something that's a detriment to the team if they don't handle it with class, let's say. If they, you know, just have public problems with it, or, you know, blow up in practice, that type of thing. I could definitely see that as being kind of an undermining factor and something that this team is going to have to overcome and have to deal with.
Absolutely, and I think a great example of a way you can get the veterans to kind of buy in is what John Calipari has done at Kentucky the last couple of years. You know, he had Darius Miller coming off the bench and kind of accepting the role of, you know, being the glue guy and playing behind a bunch of all those, like, stud freshmen. And, you know, even the first year he was there, Patrick Patterson kind of did the same thing. He kind of fell back into more of a complementary role to, like, DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall. So I think it's going to be really important for those guys to kind of buy in and embrace the idea of being, like, a veteran leader and not necessarily a guy that's out there playing 20 minutes and racking up double-doubles.
I think just mentioning UNLV in the same breath as any recent Kentucky team has got Rebels fans very excited right now. You just made a lot of people very happy.
Well, that's what I try to do.
Going back to Anthony Marshall, and I don't know if you saw this, but he read your article, or at least the paragraph that specifically talks about him as a point guard, and then he highlighted it and tweeted it out with the hashtag motivation. Now this is not something particularly new for Mr. Marshall. I wrote something last year about how he and graduated guard Oscar Belfield used to just, like, after games, they would look up for any quote-unquote haters, and they would just, like, favorite a lot of those tweets, and so that they could just kind of, like, keep a roll call of people, like, dissing them and things like that, and they just, you know, use that for motivation. I guess, do you just have any kind of gut reaction to knowing that Marshall has seen that and now knows that you don't think he's Kendall Marshall?
Well, I kind of like that, actually. You know, I think it's great when guys use stuff like that as motivation. You know, I don't want to see him, you know, not succeed. I want to see him have a great season. I want to see him be, you know, a guy that averages 12 points and 7 assists and, you know, leads UNLV to the Final Four. It'd be a great story. I love watching the kid play. It's just, I think it's a concern that needs to be raised more than anything, just because, you know, a lot of people are putting Rebels kind of in the top 10, and I feel like a lot of UNLV fans are kind of saying, like, you know, this is going to be our year. This is the year we kind of come back. And, you know, I think there's a ton of talent on the roster. I have concerns about it, and I hadn't seen a lot of those concerns get raised.
What do you think is, like, the either from you personally or just kind of people that you know, is the national perception of UNLV? And the framing of that, I guess, that I'm looking for is, I get the impression that there's a lot of people who want to see UNLV be relevant again and succeed again, because I think there's just a lot of people who maybe the first teams that they really liked or really cheered for were some of those TARC teams, and they just kind of like seeing Las Vegas rise again. Is that accurate at all? Do you get that impression?
Yeah, I do, and I think it also helps that, you know, the watching games, and I'm watching, they're an entertaining team to watch play. You know, you got a lot of dunks out there, and a lot, they're getting up and down the floor. I definitely think it's a good thing that they have a good fan base, and, you know, they have big crowds show up to the game, and it's a rowdy environment. And I also think that it matters, because I feel like a lot of people kind of, they like the Mountain West Conference as a whole, just because, you know, there's a lot of talent there. You don't see it a lot, and I feel like people kind of want to root for those guys. I don't really want to call them the underdog, but guys that are kind of off the radar a little bit, and you know, I think people kind of embrace that. And I think you're absolutely right in that a lot of the writers, the first team they kind of watched that they were just like, wow, they are incredible, was probably that UNLV team. And I think it kind of brings back a lot of memories and a lot of, you know, sentimental feelings. And I guess that's always a good thing because, I mean, you know, there's really nothing wrong with that.
You mentioned the potential ranking for UNLV. You think top 10 preseason is probably pretty accurate, if not top 15?
I think that they might sneak into the top 10, but it'll be right around there, top 10, top 15. And you know, I don't even know. I know that we were kind of arguing about it. We're putting together a top 25 poll over at College Basketball Talk, and we were arguing about it, and we kind of had them somewhere between that 10 and 15 spot, and that's kind of what we all agreed on.
It's going to be the excitement in Vegas has been just incredible from the, you know, disappointing end of the season, but then immediately because you had, you know, a lot of people who were hoping Shabazz Muhammad would come here, and then as soon as, you know, the little bit of disappointment there, they immediately turned to Bennett, and then as soon as he commits, just kind of all the dominoes fall, and that's when you get a Roscoe Smith, a Savon Goodman, and just a plethora of long athletic talent coming to Vegas, and it's going to be fun to see how it all fits together. Rob Doster, College Basketball Talk, thank you for coming on to the Rebel Room.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.